Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Well, good evening, Amazing Grace, Facebook and YouTube family. It's such a great joy and an honor to come into your living rooms once again. My name is Fee Sullivan, pastor of Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, and I hope you had a wonderful evening so far. And I'm truly hoping that this message will bless you and build you up in your most holy faith. And I just want to pause and say once again, thank you. Thank you for being just a wonderful congregants that have come and blessed Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. Saints, I'm here to let you know that there are some trying times ahead. And we know that COVID is still around, and we know that there are things that God is going to allow us to go through. But I need you to know one thing is hold on. Don't throw in the towel. Keep your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as I shared on Sunday, continue to preach the gospel. Continue to share your faith. Continue to testify what God has done in your life, that others may have a glimpse and the hope that lies within us. Praise God. And so, my friends, I'm looking forward to this evening's message, and we're going to be out of the book of Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to do our best to break down verses 8 through 17. And so please allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace, and we thank you for your mercy. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my friends, did you bring your Bibles? Please turn with me to Philippians chapter 1, and we're going to do our best to expound verses 8 through 17. And I need your attention here on the screen, and here we go. I've entitled this evening's message, Just Preach the Truth. Just Preach the Truth. I love the caption just below this. It says, preach the truth, whether it fills up a room or clears it out. Praise God. Praise God. And that, I found that and I thought it was like, okay, this is appropriate for this evening. So here we go. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1 and let's break down verses 8 through 17. And here we go. Verse 8, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and the praise of God. Praise God. Verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Praise God. Verse 14. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely supposing to add affliction to my chains. And in verse 17, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. Praise God. Praise God. You see, my friends, Paul in this letter, in this epistle, in verses 8 through 17, he explains basically that the Philippian church was not a church like Corinth. It wasn't like the former church that he had visited. It wasn't immoral. But yet, he saw that there was selfish ambition. There was division somehow that snuck in, and he needed to address it. His whole agenda was that the Philippians would preach the gospel in season and out of season, ready to rebuke and to exhort and to edify. His goal was to set up this church that it would flourish there in Philippi, and that the word of God and the grace of God would spread like wildfire. My friends, I'm here to let you know that that is the mandate and the call in our life, that we would be doing the same thing, preaching and teaching and raising up people in the fear and admonition of the Lord. Listen, there are going to be some weaker saints that come into our life that need us, not to point fingers at them, not to rebuke them, but to strengthen them, to edify them, to build them up. Why? Because the wiles of the devil will come and steer away the truth from them. So we need to come alongside the body of Christ, and we need to lock arms and say, oh God, because you are with us, who can be against us? So my friends, we need to understand that God, in the days that we live in right now, needs to be high and lifted up. Why? Because we are living in turbulent times. I truly believe, and this is my opinion, this is Fee 101, but the tribulation's around the corner. We're seeing all the birth pains converge, earthquakes, wars, rumors of wars, false prophets, apostasy, earthquakes in diverse places. We're seeing pestilences. We're seeing drought. We're seeing floods. We're seeing everything that God said we would see in the last days. So, my friends, what is the fix? What can we do as we are witnessing these things right before us? And here's the key, is to stand firm in your faith, to cling on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't let him go. Can I get an amen? And trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. God is for us, not against us. So I'm here to let you know that God will be the one to strengthen you. God will be the one to remove the fear that's before us so that our faith can rise up. That's right. The great exchange needs to take place. We need to be faithful, not fearful. Can I get an amen in the house? Praise God. We serve a mighty God, my friends. So let's go to our first verse and break it down. For God is my witness, how greatly I long for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. You see, my friends, Paul deeply loved the churches that he had set up in order. Paul, separated by his imprisonment from his dear friends in Philippi and uncertain of whether he would see them again during his life on earth, experienced, saints of God, intense longing for fellowship with them. You see, he called God as his witness to the truth of his statement. Paul's love for the Philippians was so strong that it was deeper than human emotion. That's right. He loved this church. It was the tender compassion of Jesus Christ himself. Praise God. Praise God. I want you to see something here in the book of Mark. Let's go there for a minute. In Mark 12, this was written down by Mark as he heard the Lord Jesus Christ. And it goes, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second like it is this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other greater commandment, hallelujah, than these. Praise God, praise God. My friends, I'm here to let you know that there are 614 commandments. Yes, commandments that the Jews had to follow, but they understood as well as us here in the New Testament, if we break one, we broke them all. But I'm here with good news, because this scripture we just read, all God is requiring now for us is to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself, because the prophets and the commandments all hinge on these scriptures. And so there's grace and mercy and love, hallelujah, eternal life, that's right, that we can carry all the way across the finish line by loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. Listen, if you have oughts with people, if you have an ought with the church, if you have an ought with relationships, get it right with God. Don't wait and think that, oh, I'm self-righteous about the situation and it's going to take care of itself. No. If there's someone that you need to forgive, if there's someone that you need to say, oh, God, help my mouth from not slandering so-and-so or slandering that church or whatever it may be, get it right with God before he comes. Oh, that's right. We don't want to be in that outside of what we just read. To love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Who is your neighbor? It's not your next door neighbor, and you can include them, but it's everyone in your life. Everyone that God, every one of us has a sphere of influence. There's people in your life I'll never meet in my lifetime, and vice versa. This is the sphere of influence in your life. And if there's people that have wronged you and you left bitter or you let them go bitter, get it right with them. That's right. Get it right with them. I don't care what people tell you what to do or say. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. Get right with them. Let's move on to verse 9. Look at this. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment. That's key, my friends, to have true discernment, spiritual discernment in the times that we live in. That's right. You see, saints, while Paul's travels were hindered by his imprisonment, his prayers were not. Praise God. Paul prayed that their love for God, for each other, would overflow just more and more and more. But Paul wasn't talking about gushing sentimental or emotional affection. He was praying that their love would overflow first in the knowledge of God and his ways and their true understanding of God. Praise God. You see, my friends, the church in Philippi was experiencing several problems in its fellowship, such as pride and fault finding, giving admonition to the enemy. Paul tactically revealed that he was praying that the believers would have understanding in their words and actions. Praise God. Praise God. That's right. Listen, let's look at this. We're going to look just a little bit ahead, but look at this verse of scripture right here. In Philippians 3:10, it says, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Look at this in verse 11. If by any means I may obtain the resurrection from the dead. Look at this. I need you to look at this scripture. That I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. You know what that boils down to? Is sometimes the body of Christ becomes stiff-necked. And we haven't learned to die to self. We haven't learned to give our life away. You know, we sing about, oh, you know, I give my life away and all that. But are you actually giving your life away? Is there people in your life that has basically have a shattered relationship with you, and you're just walking away from broken glass and not even coming back to repair it? My friends, God is saying that we need to take inventory of our lives so that we can see clearly what God wants from us in the times that we live in. God is looking for true saints of God that will preach the truth, that won't be like false prophets that all the time they use these key words, declare and decree and all these things, speak things into existence. Oh, that's right. Go ahead and try speaking your VW Volkswagen Bug that's in your garage and close the door and speak into existence a brand new Cadillac. Go ahead. Open the door and see if it's a new Cadillac. Listen, there's shenanigans out there right now. There's a whole bunch of blasphemers ridiculing and mocking the Word of God and tempting God. We need to be people of the Word of God, because the Word of God is what speaks to us. Can I get an amen? God's Holy Spirit does speak to us as well, but he will not give us any kind of unction that's beyond the Word of God. It has to line up to Scripture. Can I get an amen? Praise God. Praise God. And so, my friends, let's move on to verse 10 here. Look at this. Yes, verse 10 in Philippians chapter 1, verses 8 through 17. Verse 10, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ. Are you catching that, saints of God? That we are not to be an offense to anyone. We are to walk in sincerity, wholeheartedly. I'm sorry, but there's a lot of relationships that are so shattered and tattered. Listen, when a divorce takes place, the ones that suffer are the children that remain. Oh, yes, they lose a sense of security. Why? Because Papa's not in home anymore. And the children, young and old, are looking for that security. They're looking truly for true authority. And it comes from the husband. You see, the wife is built as the heart of the home. She nurtures and she loves, and that's great. And there's a place for that. But the authority comes from the man to set things in order, to set a structure for the home. And yet, it's all shattered and tattered in the days that we live in. Jesus said that these things would take place. Oh, yes. So I'm here to let you know, saints of God, that we need to be sincere without offense till the day of Christ. Can I get an amen? You see, saints, the Philippians should have both knowledge and understanding so that in their Christian lives and in their dealings with one another, they would understand what really matters. They should have the ability to differentiate between right and wrong, good and bad, healthy and dangerous, vital and trivial. But they should also have the discernment to decide between acceptable and right, good and best, and important and urgent. You see, my friends, Paul prayed that the Philippians would be pure in heart. Oh, that's right. The word derives from the Greek word for sunlight and judgment. The Philippians' transformation should be so thorough that the resulting purity could pass the toughest scrutiny, which is the light of God's judgment. My goodness, my goodness. I want us to look at this verse of scripture right here. Let's go here to 2 Corinthians 5:10. For we must all appear, say that with me at home, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. Wow. So that lets us know, saints of God, that you and I, all of us, are going to give an account. All of our actions, all of our decision making, all of our agendas is going to go through the fire, and we're going to stand before the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is not regarding salvation, but this is regarding what he has laid up and stored for us. And a lot of things can be taken away, because in the Word of God, it says gold, wood, hay, stubble, all those things are going to go through the fire. And if everything is burned up and you have basically no royalty up there, the Bible says by only God's grace, you're still saved. But there's levels of rewards in heaven. I want to strive, because I know my bank account here on earth, it fluctuates. It's like a roller coaster. But I want God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. You see, saints, Paul, he also prayed that they would be blameless. And the Greek word also means not causing others to stumble. Believers ought to be blameless with God, keeping their relationship with him up to date and personal. And with people, that their behavior will not lead others into sin. Oh, praise God, praise God. So now, let's move on to verse 11. Look at this. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. My goodness, my goodness. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. You see, my friends, it's all about God. It's all about his Holy Spirit. It's all about the redemptive plan that God has laid up before us. He has done the work, and all we have to do is walk in and serve him gladly. All we have to do is cry out and say, oh God, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. You see, my friends, we are to hold on and keep striving. We are to die to self daily. We are to pick up our cross and to follow him. Yes, I know situations of life are very, very tough. Yes, that person said this. Yes, that person said that. Yes, and it hurts me to the core. Yes. Well, look what they all did to Jesus. And what did Jesus say on that cross? Right before he gave up his spirit, he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Listen, he was about ready to give up his life at the point of death. And some of us will tear each other up and walk away like nothing happened. But I'm here to let you know, God's going to have his last say with us. This is why this is the opportunity for us to always get it right with God, that we would have a clean slate, that we would walk with the purity of heart, to know that God has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Praise God. And so, saints, finally, Paul, he prayed that the believers would be filled with the fruit of their salvation. And that fruit being all of the character traits flowing from a right relationship with God. The phrase refers to the good things that are produced in a person's life by Jesus Christ. There is no other way for believers to gain this fruit than through a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And saints, only his life through us can help us live in ways that often go against our human nature. Oh, that's right. So let's look at this for a moment. It's found in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. Let me pause there. You know what long-suffering means? Patience. Be patient with people. Don't leave that person thinking that that's the final outcome. Did you know that God can do the miraculous with your children, with your husband, with your wife, with your co-worker, with your brothers and sisters, with your aunt, your uncles, and your cousins? It's not too late with God. We are to be long-suffering. We are to pray. We are to fast. We are to press. We are to cry out. We are to say, oh God, I can't do these things, but you can. And this is where God needs to do just one thing in our life. If that's to put his righteousness upon us by faith, that we can walk in the righteousness of Christ, because our own righteousness, the Bible says, is but filthy rags. So we need the righteousness of Christ so that we can operate in the realm that would please the Lord, that we would be able to have the unction and the power of the Holy Spirit to truly cry out and ask God to fix those things that you and I cannot fix in our life. That's right. Let's go back and look at that once again. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. I'm going to stop right there. Faithfulness. Listen, if God entrusted you with a family, God is saying be faithful to the family unit. Why? Because I've said this time and time again. If the family at home can be divided, then guess what? Old Slewfoot, the devil himself, will have the church. Why? Because families consist of the family of Christ. As the bride of Christ, we're all family to one another and also to our families at home. But if that gets severed, if that gets destroyed, it renders you and I useless for God. Oh, that's right. We think we can continue. We think we can go, oh, God will still use me. And he can. But there will be no joy. Why? Because there's something behind that's left undone. And God's going to bring that back once again to get those things right before he comes and takes us home. My goodness. Help us, Jesus. Help us, God. You see, saints, such filling and the results revealed as the fruit and people's lives always bring much glory and praise to God. Believers' lives ought to glorify and praise God For it is by his grace alone that sinful human beings can obtain righteousness. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on to our next scripture right here in verse 12. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel. You know, there's a scripture where it says all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his will and purpose. And so, saints, the Philippians were certainly concerned for Paul's well-being, expressed by their financial gift. But they were also concerned that Paul's imprisonment had slowed down the spread of the gospel. And by the time of this writing, Paul had been in prison about 2 years. Paul even may have questioned God's reason for his lengthy imprisonment. But God knows all things, for it effectively put him out of commission for the further traveling and preaching of the word of God. But Paul had to come to understand, and he wanted the Philippians to know, saints of God, beyond any doubt, that everything that had happened had actually helped to spread the good news. You know why? Because others picked up the baton. They picked up the baton and they carried it. They said, while Paul's in prison, we need to do something. Praise God. Praise God. Listen, a wonderful pastor, beautiful pastor, a man that I held in high esteem, went on to be with Christ, and that was Pastor Ray Bentley of Maranatha. Now, someone needs to rise up, an elder, a junior pastor, to take the baton now and to carry it, to finish the race, because there's a congregation right now that's bleeding, that's mourning and grieving for their pastor. And it affected us here, because once a year we would go to the Feast of Trumpets there at Maranatha Chapel. But someone needs to now pick up the baton and carry it for Pastor Ray and go further than he went. Praise God, until the return of Jesus Christ. Praise God. And although one of Christianity's saints of God, most tireless missionaries have been imprisoned, God's work cannot be slowed down. Praise God. Praise God. Nothing will slow down the gospel. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 13. So that it has become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Praise God. Praise God. You know, Paul had the tenacity, saints of God, he had the tenacity to continue to write to the churches that God had allowed him to be established through his faith. God used Paul throughout the whole Asian region. And he's the one that got on boats and traveled. He went to Rome, Philippi, Macedonia. Oh, that's right, Corinth. He went to Ephesus. He went to all these places that no one would travel because it wasn't their call, it was his call. But we are to now glean off what Paul did. And guess what? Guess where Macedonia? Guess where? All these places he went to, Rome and Thessalonica and all these places that I'm mentioning, guess where they are at for you? Your next door neighbor, the person across the street, your friends, your family members. It's time for the church to shake off the sleep and slumber. It is time to rise up in faith. It is time to preach the gospel. It is time to let people know that Jesus is soon to return. This is a time to let people know it's time to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. The things of the world and the culture has not done anything for the people that are perishing. We need to do what Titus says. Pull them out of the fire. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Saints, Paul's long arrest had allowed him to share the gospel with the very soldiers who guarded him. Praise God. Praise God. And as a result of the soldiers in the palace, the guard, the elite troops housed in the emperor's palace, and everyone else that knew Paul was in chains only because of his belief in Jesus Christ and the teaching of the good news. Not for being a criminal. He wasn't in prison because he killed someone or murdered someone or robbed someone. He was imprisoned for preaching the gospel. Listen, If we cannot find ourselves preaching the gospel, which will not lead us to prison as of yet, what's our excuse? What's your excuse? What's my excuse? I thank God that God gave us a little studio so that we can go YouTube and Facebook and plant the seed and water the seed, and that God would give it the increase. That's right. And it's your faith that has allowed this to take place for Amazing Grace. And we are mighty thankful. You see, my friends, Paul's example, his fervent love for Christ and the manner of life, even in prison, had allowed others to see the gospel in a whole new light. The custom of the time was for a prisoner to be guarded by a soldier who would be replaced every 4 hours. You see, my friends, these soldiers certainly heard Paul's words to those who visited, as well as his message spoken to them personally. Paul was confident that the message of the gospel was infiltrating the Roman army and the palace itself. Praise God. Let me just say this. Everything that you do for Christ will not come back void. Everything that you say, everything that you do to serve God will not come back void. There's purpose. I want to encourage you to hold on. Can I get an amen? Continue to feed the homeless. Continue to visit those in prison. Continue to love your family, to die to self, to pick up your cross and follow Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Let's move on now to verse 14. And most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. That was Paul. Paul, he had no fear. Saints, not only was the gospel being spread by Paul through his contacts in prison, but his efforts were being multiplied outside the prison because the guards were sharing the gospel. Paul's faith, confidence, and patience, in spite of his imprisonment, helped the fellow believers gain confidence, saints of God. And whatever the reason for the lack of confidence before, whether they had been afraid to speak up, whether they left all the mission work to Paul because they lacked his boldness, or whether they wondered if faith in God was worth the price. Saints, they saw Paul's faith and it strengthened their own. They became more bold in telling others about Christ, with more and more believers gaining boldness in telling the gospel of Jesus Christ more and more. And they heard the gospel message and had the opportunity to accept it. Praise God. You see, my friends, this gave Paul great joy. This is why he wrote to this church, admonishing them and lifting them up and telling them that I wish I could be there with you to see all this joy and to see the church grow. You see, my friends, he passed his good news onto his friends in Philippi that they might know how God was working through this difficult time. Praise God. Praise God. So let's move on, my friends, to verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. Are you catching this now? There's many agendas in the church we live in today. Oh, that's right. Many agendas. You see, my friends, Paul, he had been made aware that some of the brothers and sisters who had been newly emboldened to speak about Christ were doing so out of jealousy and rivalry. But others were preaching Christ with pure motives, and they wanted to help others too, to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that their faith would grow and they wanted to glorify God. This comment by Paul provides an interesting look into people's motives. All those who preached Christ were sincere believers, that they had the right doctrine and they acted upon sharing it with others. Now, my friends, while the end result might be the same, people hearing the good news, some actually had wrong motives in their preaching. Now that the great missionary Paul had been virtually silenced in prison, some of these brothers were hoping to make a name for themselves in the vacuum that Paul left. Perhaps they hoped for great notoriety, trying to turn people's eyes away from Paul and toward themselves. Let me just pause right here for a moment, saints of God. That's what we see today. We see shenanigans. We see false prophets. Like I said earlier, one of the key things they say, declare and decree, speak things into existence. None of that can hold up to the word of God. Listen, Paul was enchained. He could have spoke, "These chains be gone now." No. He was in prison for almost 2 years, suffering for the gospel. And the shenanigan false prophets of today is all about self-gain. It's all about money. It's all about, here's a $50 line, here's a $100 line, here's a $150 line. Come and sow your seed and watch God do a miracle. That is tempting God. And nowhere in Scripture do you find these actions taking place. All that is written in the Word of God, the New Testament, is be a cheerful giver. And the only time we see that we give unto the Lord is for our tithes and offerings. That's it. If you want to give toward ministries, praise God. But there should be no one strong-arming you and manipulating you to sow into their ministry so that God will bless you, God will heal you. You know, some of those shenanigans, you know what they do? They find out who's there beforehand, and they will go, Sally. There's a girl named Sally with glasses. There's a girl named Sally that has cancer. Well, that was on a prayer request, and she was there. And all of a sudden, the false prophet becomes spiritual. Saints of God, there's shenanigans. Shenanigans in the church today. Jesus said in Matthew 24, there will be false prophets. Oh yes, leaving the truth. And it's all about self-gain. Next time you go to one of these big events, look what they're driving. Find out where they live. They're living on Sugar Hill. They're driving around a Beamer, a brand new one probably, taking and fleecing the poor little saints that come with their little faith, thinking that they're looking for a miracle. Listen, the greatest miracle that mankind has ever seen was we that were dead in transgressions and sins that God raised up. That is the greatest miracle, that we were translated from darkness into His marvelous light, that God would do something supernatural in our heart, in our mind, in our soul, that we can be born of God by faith. That is the greatest miracle, my friends. Whether you end up being poor the rest of your life or wealthy, high on the hill, it doesn't matter to God. Why? Because we're all equal at the cross. There's no big I's and little U's. So I need you to understand that Paul was sharing these thoughts and these passages of Scripture to hold on, that there would be agendas in the church. And Jesus confirmed it in Matthew 24. And these people had no personal love for Paul, these shenanigan people. That's right. They even hoped that their planning churches and gaining converts would upset Paul and make his imprisonment even more frustrating. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. But let me just say this. The truth will rise to the top. And God will give His people that hear His voice. The Bible says, "My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me, and they hear Me, and we hear God." And let me just say this. God will never leave us astray. He will never lead us to shenanigans. He will never lead us to false prophets. That's right. He just says, when you see them, take heed and walk away from them. That's right. So let's move on. Let's move on to verse 16. The former preached Christ from selfish ambition, as we just saw and heard and elaborated, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to My chains. Oh, that's right. Paul was straight out with this. That's right. He was straight out. Saints, those who preached Christ with pure motives did so because of their love for Paul. They knew Paul was in prison, not because of any criminal act, as I shared earlier, but because the Lord brought him there to defend the good news. Paul had landed in prison because of his devotion to Christ, his zeal to spread the gospel. Yet his fellow believers in Rome, some of them may have been in his spiritual children, fearlessly picked up where he left off, continuing and expanding the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. So let's look at our last verse of Scripture here, found in verse 17. But the latter out of love, knowing that I'm appointed for the defense of the gospel. You see, Paul knew where he stood with God. You see, saints, those who were preaching Christ out of jealousy and rivalry were doing so because of their own selfish ambition, as I alluded to earlier, making their motives less than pure. These preachers were not so much interested in their message as they were in their reputation and monetary gain. Apparently, their doctrine was sound. These were not false teachers, but Paul never tolerated any kind of false teaching. Praise God, praise God. That's right. He never tolerated with that. Look what it says right here in 2 Corinthians. Let's go there right now. Look at this. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, which you have not received, or a different gospel, which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. What does God mean by that? Oh, well, you went there. Just put up with it or leave. But you will have true discernment whether it's of God. Now, Paul gave him further revelation in the book of Galatians. Let's go there right now. Look at this. This is where we need to take heed, saints of God. Look at this. In Galatians 1, 6 through 9. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel, which is not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. Look at this in verse 8. But if we, say that with me at home, but even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let them be accursed. What? Look at this. And we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be what? Accursed. Wow. Wow, my friends. That's a serious matter. That you know what that is? That is an indictment from heaven. So if you're out there in these big old events, these false prophets declare and decree, you know, just sow. Some of you need to sow 100 and some of you need to sow 1,000. Some of you are about ready to go into bankruptcy. You're about losing your home. Sow into our ministry and watch God do the miraculous. Now you're tempting God. And they are playing havoc on your emotions instead of trusting the Lord with all your heart, leaning not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledging him, and he will direct your path. Saints of God, this is one of the most important messages that needs to be preached. We need to preach the truth. Can I get an amen? So saints, the error was in motive, not in content. These self-seeking opportunities hoped that Paul would be angered at the notoriety and the new powerful preachers who took his place while he was in prison. These men did not understand Paul's sincere love for God and his single-minded focus on spreading the gospel. Oh no, 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 no. They were misleading saints, good men and women, well-intended. They were misleading. So Paul had to write this letter to the Philippian church to warn them of the shenanigans of the false teachers. And my friends, I'm here to let you know, soon and very soon, Jesus is about to appear. That's right, we are almost out of here. I hope you know that. How many believe we're almost out of here? That's right. And God is going to come and take his church home. Oh, that's right. You see, Paul wrote to the Thessalonian church, and he gave us an insight. He gave us truth. He saw in the future what God had showed him, that in our day and time, in the future, that Jesus was going to come down, not even touching the ground, but in the clouds, and the angels will blow the shofar, and God's going to take his bride home with him. This is why we need to get ready. This is why we need to deal with these issues. Let's not go up, or maybe not even get the opportunity to go up with unresolved issues at home. We need to fix these things, and we need to fix them now so that we can have pure motives. We can have the right heart. we can have the right agenda, that it's all about Jesus Christ, and that we would learn to die to self. We would learn to pick up our cross and to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because this is what he wrote to Thessalonica. Look at this right here. Paul wrote this, "But I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus." Look at this. "For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep." Verse 16, "For the Lord himself," say that with me at home, "for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord." Verse 18, "Therefore comfort one another with these words." Praise God. Praise God. So saints of God, that lets us know the times that we live in. What Jesus said that we would see the birth pains before the tribulation. And we're seeing that right now, as I mentioned earlier. Wars, rumors of wars, false prophets, apostasy, people leaving the church, earthquakes in diverse places. We're seeing plagues. We're seeing pestilence. We're seeing famine. We're seeing drought. We're seeing fire, tornadoes, floods. We're seeing all the things that God said we would see, and they're all converging. We're seeing the political divide in our own nation. We're seeing the globalists coming together for the one world order. My friends, I'm here to let you know we're at the brink of what I just read of Jesus coming for his church. But my question is, are you ready? Are you prepared? Are you ready to give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you ready to repent? Are you ready to say, "Oh God, I'm sorry for this and that and that"? Oh, please get it right. We all need to get it right. Can I get an amen? Because the next greatest event is found what Paul wrote to the Corinthian church. Let's go there right now. Look at this. In 1 Corinthians 15, 52-54. "Now this I say to you, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be what? Changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be what? Changed." Praise God. Praise God. Look at this, verse 53. "For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Praise God. Praise God. I can't wait. This is soon to happen. We're around the corner. This is why we need to get our house in order. This is why we need to get our life in order. Praise God. And all we have to do is cry out to God. Praise God. Listen. Listen, here's the key. Maybe you have never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. The key is found written 2,000 years ago when the Holy Spirit fell in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. All 120, including Mary, Jesus' mother, was up in there with the women. 120 disciples got filled with the Holy Ghost. And the one that had spiritual boldness, that was not afraid, was Peter. You remember him? He ran away from three people. "Oh, I don't know Jesus." But when he got filled with the Holy Ghost, God empowered him, emboldened him to able to preach the gospel. And look what he preached right here. This is for us today. Look at this. And before I show you what Peter wrote, I need you to see this clip. Why? Because this clip is going to sum it all up. God is saying, are you ready? Are you ready to receive? Well, I just read that we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. And so, my friends, don't let this happen to you if you're not ready. Let's look at this.
Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 24, verse 42, "Watch therefore, for you do not know the hour your Lord is coming. I want you to know, church, that Jesus Christ could come this month, or he might come next week, or he could even come...
Once again, my question is, are you ready? Are you ready to see the Lord Jesus? And as I just went slightly ahead of myself sharing what Peter had preached, let's now look at this verse of scripture that applies to us 2,000 years later, that we have an opportunity to give our heart to Jesus to repent. Let's look at this. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." Praise God. Praise God. That's it. There it is. There it is, my friends. So, let's go back here on the screen. There we go. And I'm here to let you know that if you're watching maybe for the first or second time, maybe you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm going to ask the saints of God that are watching, the Amazing Grace family, and maybe those who attend another church, to pray with me for you, for those who have never given their heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, that you would cry out with a repentant heart, "Turn from your evil ways," the Bible says, "and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and cry out to God for forgiveness of your sins," and watch him do the miraculous in your life. If that's you, bow your heart and your head with me and pray this simple prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, I confess to you that I'm a sinner, and I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me, and the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, to forgive me for all my sins. Come into my heart. Make me a new person in Christ Jesus. And from this day on, I will do my best to honor you and to follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Come on, give God a shout of praise and glory. Hallelujah. In the house. Listen, down below is our website. Log on, reach out to us. We want to give you a Bible. We want to encourage you, pray for you, and lead you to a good church that'll teach the unadulterated Word of God. And that's our agenda, is to preach the gospel, preach the truth, and watch God do the rest. Can I get an amen? So, my friends, I'm looking forward to Sunday morning, 10:30. It's our in-person live service at 10:30. We're located at 5305 Sweetwater Road in beautiful Bonita, California. And so, my friends, we'd love to see you all come out. And thank you once again. Down below, donations are deeply appreciated. And so on behalf of Sister Yolanda and behalf of the saints of God of Amazing Grace, we want to say we love you, God bless you, and we'll see you Sunday at 10:30. God bless you, and bye-bye now.
The Bible says, "Repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call." And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, And to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.